better, but playing better.
Damian Lee. And a good... Oh!
Jordan Bell with a dunk of the season!
Draymond Green came out on the floor.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs get the 112-103 win over the Pelicans of New Orleans. Magic Johnson steps down as the president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers. And standings watch 2019 continues. All that and more coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. And just a reminder, you can get Locked On Warriors on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your device to play podcast Locked On Warriors. The Dubs beat the Pelicans 112-103 in game number 80 of the season. And the place I have to start, I guess, is with Steph Curry, who rolled his ankle early in the game, late in the first quarter, played just over 9 minutes, and it was a non-contact injury, just dribbling up the court, going for a little crossover, a little behind the back, and the front of his shoe gets caught on the floor and just rolls his ankle. I mean, another fluke Steph Curry ankle roll. And the Dubs took a timeout immediately. He went over, sat on the bench, was by himself, comes back out, hits a little baseline jumper, a little mid-range baseline jumper, and then decides to come out and call it a day. He goes and gets looked at in the locker room, and we get the report it is a mild foot sprain, and they pulled him out for precautionary reasons. That is actually what the tweet said when reporting it, which was pretty funny because they're trying to, you know, ease everyone's tensions as much as possible. Here's the tweet. Steph Curry, mild foot sprain, will not return to tonight's game for precautionary reasons. They're trying as hard as possible to let us know that it's not a big deal. And I believe it. I think he is fine for the most part. I mean, I think he could have come back tonight and played if they needed him to, or if it was the playoffs or anything like that. Steve Kerr gave a quick update after the game. When asked about it, he said, "We think he'll be fine. Icing his sprained foot now, unlikely to play tomorrow. Confident he'll be available for game one this weekend," which I agree with. I mean, he's got 4 days until their first game, potentially. We think they'll play on Saturday. Hasn't been announced yet. I'm pretty sure he's fine. It sounds more like something that he could play through, but just because it's the last game and a half, that why risk it? Why risk it at this point? And also, look, I understand some fans are saying, why was he even playing tonight? The thing is, he's not... If Steve Kerr decided to sit him the last two games, I'd be fine. I'd understand. But the bottom line is, you don't sit someone the last two games. And it was a non-contact ankle roll. He could have done this in practice. It's not as if it was some, you know, it was Christian Wood out there trying to prove a point or something. You know, Steph just has a history of doing this. And so, it happens. That's about all I got on it. Look, until we find out more, there's not much speculation we can do. He's going to be fine. I think he'll play this weekend, obviously. I think he'll be absolutely fine and good to go. But it's just so classic Dubs over the last couple years is someone gets hurt going into the playoffs, either Steph or KD or Steph. So, oh well. Moving on to the actual game, it was... The beginning sucked. I'll tell you that much. I think there were, 14 points scored in the first 7 minutes? So the beginning was terrible, but it actually turned out to be a pretty fun game. KD, Clay, Andre, and Bogut were all sitting out. So you had Steph starting with Draymond, Boogie, Jacob Evans, and Alphonso McKinney. And the beginning was absolutely gross. Yeah, 14 points through 7 minutes. It was a bad look for the first quarter. But it actually picked up later in the game. DeMarcus struggled throughout. He really did. He put up a final stat line, or at least, you know, points, rebounds that look good. 21 and 12, 6 assists. But the fact he went 7 of 18, 1 of 5 from 3, 6 of 10 from the free throw line, it wasn't awesome. I'll tell you that right now. But it was fun, man. It was fun to watch some of these backup two-way fringe players for the Dubs. And it was also fun to see guys on the Pelicans like Jahlil Okafor, who, if the Dubs didn't have their center spot pretty solidified coming into the year, why not take a flyer on a guy like Jahlil Okafor, you know, a former third overall pick? Christian Wood, who had 26 and 12, is a guy who I've had my eye on for a while coming out of UNLV, and he just hadn't found the right spot yet. And who knows if the Pelicans are it, but bottom line, the guy can play. Ian Clark, always fun to see Ian Clark. He had a rough one going 8 of 22, but that's still our guy, right? So it was a fun game to watch. The Dubs came out, struggled initially. Damian Lee was solid in this game. He actually tied his career high with 20 points. He went 4 of 7 from 3. He was a highlight. So was Quinn Cook, going 7 of 12, 2 of 3 from 3 for 19. Jordan Bell had 10. Who else? Alphonso McKinney had 10. Jacob Evans actually had 10, which is another good sign. And it was good to see him play in a game where he knew he was going to continue to play. He got 36 minutes, went 5 of 10 from the field, and you saw the defense that they had talked about with him earlier in the year when they drafted him. He was kind of everywhere. It was very encouraging, especially for me, who has bashed the pick and bashed Bob Myers drafting a little bit over the last couple years, to see Jacob Evans get in there and play. And you see glimpses of maybe he could play next year. You know, maybe he could be in the rotation next year. Jordan Bell had some good run. He had the dunk of the year, that highlight I played at the beginning. It was sick. I mean, it was sick. And it's what you remember from Jordan Bell, to where it's like, this guy's got a future. But then you remember this year just went really bad for him. So I don't know. It was fun, and I always look ahead and probably do it too much. But, you know, you wonder about these guys next year, which we'll get into in a second. But I just wanted to talk about the game a little bit more. Evans opened the third with a steal and a transition dunk. He had 3 steals tonight, 2 block shots. He was good. You know, still had his problems. 2 of his steals, one of them was he got out in transition, missed the layup. The other one, he gets out in transition, then turns the ball over. So he's still got a lot to work on, but you can see the glimpses that you want to see from him. Jordan Bell was good in the third as well. Damian Lee really kind of took the game over at certain points when they needed him to. Again, this is against, part of the reason why these guys look good is because they're playing against talent that is similar to theirs. Quinn Cook, though, has been on a tear recently. He had 12 points in the third. He really took over for the Warriors when they needed him to in the third. And then Damian Lee in the fourth went 4 of 7, 3 of 5 from 3 for 11 points to really wrap this thing up for the Dubs. And then it was also nice to see at the end of the game, Marcus Derrickson, he only got about 5 minutes of play, scored 5 points. The guy's not afraid to shoot. You guys know me. I'm a big fan of Marcus Derrickson and think, you know, he could be a part of this team moving forward next year. And so a little something I wanted to do. Obviously looking way too far down the road, especially with playoffs coming up, but this was kind of a throwaway game, so to speak, but we got to see a lot of young players, and Bob Myers talked about getting younger in the off season last year, which they weren't really capable of doing. But when I look at Jacob Evans, Alphonso McKinney, who will both definitely be here next year here with the Warriors, and then I see a guy like Damian Lee on the two-way, Jordan Bell, who's still up in the air, and Marcus Derrickson. Those are 3 other guys that you see glimpses of, well, they could be in the rotation. They could do things. You know, Marcus Derrickson is going to be a stretch 4 in this league, whether it's with the Warriors or someone else. So why not make it with the Warriors? Damian Lee, just watching him shoot tonight, and yes, this is a 1-game sample size, but you can also look at throughout the season when he's gotten minutes. There have been good games, there have been bad games, but you see the talent and the NBA-level shooting. So I just look at these guys and like, well, why can't they be with the team next year? And why can't they be part of the rotation? Especially considering what I talked about yesterday. Who knows if Sean Livingston returns? Who knows if he retires or not? Andre Iguodala is getting a little older. So regardless of whether or not it's these guys, these, you know, five young guys that I brought up, two of them for sure, Alphonso McKinney and Jacob Evans, barring a trade or something like that, they're going to be around. So why can't it be these other guys? If not them, it's going to be someone else, basically. And so I think these tryouts that they're getting in these last two games and throughout part of the year are encouraging. And also, the Jordan Bell thing is fascinating because that talent, you kind of got to keep betting on it. And even with how bad it's been, you kind of got to bring him back next year because of how talented he is to see if he can get it together. Even at the end of the game, Jordan Bell had a couple of bad possessions, careless turnovers that, you know, drive Steve Kerr crazy. But we'll see. So anyways, fun game. Warriors win 112-103. Going to take a quick break, come back, talk about the surprise news of the day where Magic Johnson resigns out of nowhere. And then also Standings Watch 2019 is coming up next as well. But first, I got to tell you guys, Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allow you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. 1080p full HD. Images so clear you're not going to miss a thing. Night vision, two-way audio. Wyze's mission is to bring amazing smart home products accessible to everyone. Check on your home anytime with Wyze's apps. Live stream, connect with life as it unfolds in sharp focus. You get live stream 8x digital zoom. I mean, that's crazy. You don't get that anywhere. You don't get that on a digital camera. People still use digital cameras. On top of that, you still get free rolling 14-day cloud storage as well as no subscriptions. You don't have to subscribe. You got 14 days of free cloud storage. You can use it to watch your kids destroy your house. Use it for bird watching food simmer on the stove for a few hours while you got to run errands. Use it in the laundry room to see when your stuff's done. Watch over your water softener to know when you need more salt, watching plants grow through time lapse. You can watch contractors repave your driveway via time lapse. You want more? They got that too. For just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360-degree coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. You want to hear some other things? They got 110-degree per second rotation speed, 360-degree horizontal range, 93-degree vertical range. Patrol your room with Pan Scan. Set the camera's patrol route up to 4 custom waypoints. That's 4 different spots you want them to go. Boom, hit the button, it's there. You can track the action with Wyze Cam Pan automatically detecting tags and tracks of motion within its field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been so easy. It works with Alexa. You can also watch it from anywhere with your phone. You get free rolling 14-day cloud storage. I mean, that's a ridiculous deal. It works with any mobile phone from anywhere, too, so you're always locked in or locked on. Hello. Go to wyze.com/locked to get the guarantee lowest price. That is wyze.com/locked. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. The Dubs got the 9-point win over the Pelicans. And, you know, game 81 against a team that, you know, is sitting their starters and the Dubs sitting most of their starters. It was actually pretty fun. I could see how it'd be disinteresting to a lot of people, but for hoop heads like us, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun to watch these guys who don't get a ton of playing time get the playing time. So anyways, the big news of today or tonight that, you know, really just happened. So I'll continue to try and get all the facts and get as much news as I can. But the bottom line is Magic Johnson has resigned in disgrace. It's not disgrace. That's a Parks and Rec reference for all my, you know, fellow fans out there. Resigned in disgrace. But no, Magic Johnson resigned as the president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers. He, I guess, called a press conference or called a press availability pretty much and told them all that he was going to resign. He's stepping down from his position. And it's weird. I mean, I'm trying to find really the right words. It's unexpected. But the guy said some weird stuff. Like, he wants to be able to congratulate other players on their moments. He wanted to congratulate Russ on his 2020 game, but couldn't do it. And now he gets to tweet whenever he wants. And, you know, didn't realize that he would have to go scout players and stuff like that. And it's something that a lot of people have said. Like, there's no way Magic is going to be, you know, going to Wichita State mid-November or whatever to go watch one of their players to maybe, the you know, get them in the second round or you know, give them an Exhibit 10 contract or something like that. And so he just couldn't handle it. He was incapable of doing his job, performing the duties that go with his job, and so he resigned. And the reason I say it like that is because I know there's going to be a lot of people that like Magic. I like Magic, but they're going to give him a pass for this, and he does not deserve a pass. He was bad at this job, did not do it well, and now he's resigning and was incapable of performing the duties that come with the job because he wants to tweet. And he didn't even tell Jeannie Buss that he was doing this, didn't tell LeBron that he was doing this either. LeBron and Rich Paul and Magic and Rob Pelinka all met the other night, and, you know, he gave no indication that he was doing it. But you guys, Stephen A. Smith says something doesn't seem right, so he's going to get to the bottom of it for us. Now, you know what, Stephen A.? What wasn't right is that your friend Magic Johnson was just bad at his job. And that's what it is. And he doesn't need the job either because he's friggin' Magic Johnson. I do look forward to his deep tweets. Ryan Russillo had a great tweet about him, you know, predicting that Zion goes in the first round. If you guys don't understand this reference, Magic is a terrible tweeter. He's pretty much purred happily of NBA tweets. That's another Parks and Rec shout out for you guys. So, I don't know. The Lakers year has been, you know, from a Warriors fan standpoint, pretty hilarious. From a Lakers fan standpoint, it's been bad. It's just been bad. And I don't know what the positives are from it now. Magic said he didn't want to fire Luke because he knew it would hurt Jeannie. Now, my question is Luke sticking around? Luke and the coaching staff. I kind of wanted him to get fired so then he could potentially take over the Sacramento Kings job and show the world that he is a damn good coach and coaching LeBron is difficult and he got put in a terrible situation with the Lakers. But who knows? Maybe he sticks around now. That's the part I'm most interested in. As far as Magic leaving, I don't know. It's a marriage that didn't work out with him and Rob Pelinka. Stephen A. Smith reported that people in the NBA just don't like Rob Pelinka. They don't like dealing with him. There's an arrogance to him that people don't like dealing with. So I don't know what is going to be the answer there. I'm more interested in Walton, like I said, but that's the big news of tonight. I mean, came out of nowhere too. But that's where I'm at with the situation. I just want to let it be known that besides getting LeBron, this has been a failure. And I guess, you know, I don't know how much credit you want to give them for getting LeBron. Some people give them a ton. Some people say none because he would be in LA anyways. This has not worked out. And because he's Magic Johnson, people are going to sugarcoat it. I don't think he deserves that courtesy. It's been bad. Going to take a quick break, but remember, if you want to find this show every day, subscribe, and not only subscribe to Locked On Warriors on the new Himalaya podcast app. In this new podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Warriors. Going to take the break, come back, go through Standings Watch 2019, and wrap this thing up for the day. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. About to finish this thing up, but you know we got to go through Standings Watch 2019. And after the action we saw tonight, OKC had a great come from behind victory against Houston. I mean, it really was. I like to clown OKC, as we all do, but this one was one hell of a game and a great come from behind win. Paul George hits a three with less than 2 seconds left to get the W and the 1-point win, which keeps the Clippers in the eighth seed for now. Tomorrow night is the last night of NBA regular season action. The 8 Western Conference playoff teams have been set for a while. Seeding still up in the air. Warriors have the 1 seed locked down. The Nuggets are half a game ahead of the Rockets in the 2 seed. Rockets are 1 game ahead of the Blazers in the 3 seed. Blazers 1.5 games ahead of Utah in the 4 seed. And then we get to the 8th seed with OKC, San Antonio, and the Clippers all within a game of each other. San Antonio and the Clippers have the same record right now at 47-34. OKC 1 game up on them at 48-33 after tonight's win. Now tomorrow night, OKC takes on Milwaukee. The question is, will Milwaukee be playing their players? They've had the stranglehold on the best record in the NBA for a while now. They're 60-21. Does Milwaukee rest some guys, which would give OKC a great shot at winning tomorrow night? San Antonio taking on Dallas. Dallas had a great emotional night tonight with Dirk's last home game. How is Dallas going to play tomorrow? Are they emotionally drained, physically drained? Who knows? And the Clippers are taking on Utah tomorrow night, who have their spot pretty much solidified at the 5 spot. They're 2 games up on the Thunder, 1.5 games behind Portland. So here are the scenarios. If the Clippers win, Thunder win, Spurs lose, Spurs at the 8 seed. If the Clippers win, Thunder lose, Spurs win, it's Thunder at the 8 seed. If Clippers win, Thunder and Spurs lose, Spurs at the 8 seed. If all 3 win, Clippers are the 8th seed. If the Clippers lose, regardless of what happens to anyone else, they are the 8th seed. I think we all agree that the Clippers are the preferred 8th seed for the first round against the Warriors. And just for their own, that's preferred by the Warriors players as far as travel goes and as far as they match up against them. So the bottom line is the Clippers need to lose tomorrow. That's the easiest way for them to get the 8th seed. But they are taking on Utah, who might not have a reason to play their guys. We'll see how it unfolds. Also tonight, with Toronto winning their game against Minnesota, it gives them a 58-24 record on the season. And if the Dubs win tomorrow night against Memphis, Dubs will be 58-24. Toronto owns the tiebreaker. So the Dubs have home court advantage against everyone in the league besides Milwaukee and Toronto. So if they face either Milwaukee and Toronto in the NBA Finals, they will not have home court advantage. So there it is, NBA Standings Watch 2019. Be sure to check out all the games tomorrow, including the Clippers, Spurs, Thunder, and obviously the Dubs, to find out where they're going to be playing probably just 2 games at some point over the next 2 weeks in the first round, and to see who everyone else matches up with. I gotta say thank you guys so much for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the Himalaya Podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked On Warriors. We like smart devices because we're hella smart. Thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth. Right, you got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.